Well, Myron, it's good to have you back for History and Our Best Future. Today, what I'd like to talk to you about, it's a question of social movements, because later on, my guest is going to be concerned with the Transition Town movement. Part of what they call their cheerful disclaimer says that if we wait for governments to act, it will be too little too late. If we act as individuals, it'll be too little. But if we act together, it may be just enough, just in time. Social movements have been so important that got this country in a good and necessary direction. Could you talk a little bit about historically those movements that have had that kind of power and direction?
Well, there's been quite a few of them. I like to think that almost all of our basic human rights that we cherish under the Bill of Rights were supported by tremendous effort on the part of regular everyday people to insist on actually having those rights enforced. I always like to remember that the old Soviet Union had a Bill of Rights that could be argued to be better than ours. The reality was, for all the problems with enforcing our Bill of Rights, the Soviet Union didn't attempt to enforce hardly any of them. So what's written on paper doesn't matter. What's actually enforced and what actually happens really is the point. And there's a couple of examples, you know, and most of your listeners will think right away, I'm sure, about civil rights in this country and how Americans of Black African ancestry had to fight tooth and nail to be elevated to the level of a citizen. You know, starting with the ending of slavery, of course, didn't matter, because just because you end something on paper doesn't mean that it ends for real. And so the fight there continued. One of the favorite pieces of history from that time period is, of course, the Montgomery bus boycott. But people don't realize sometimes, and don't think about it, that there were all kinds of actions to protest these segregation rules. One of my favorites is going back to 1946, when a woman named Irene Morgan basically refused to take her seat that she was ordered to get off a bus, and 11 years previous to Rosa Parks. These movements build over time. The troublemakers, of course, are frequently listed in our history books as such, but when you look at what happened, eventually they created a movement, and eventually that movement led to bigger and bigger movements, and the Montgomery bus boycott is regarded as the most famous mass movement that radically changed our view of segregation across this country eventually. Another one that I'd like to point out is the movement to accept gays in our society. We just recently had the tremendous example of President Obama making the Stonewall Inn a National Historic Site. And in 1969, that was known as the Stonewall Riots, where police would simply just go and harass gay people just because they were gay. And in 1969, they fought back. That is looked at as the beginning of the gay rights movement in this country, and now honored with a monument. Well, we have a tremendous slow, long slog towards where we are today, when the Supreme Court finally looked at movements all across the country and people's acceptance that love is love. And now we have gay marriage legalized across the country. Many people are still very angry about that, but I don't think we're going back. And of course, the third one is another civil rights issue, of course, and that's one of my favorites, and that's women getting the right to vote. You know, Susan B. Anthony is one of those leaders who just simply, you know, regular people, really not a leader, you know, at the time, just a regular person who just simply didn't abide by what she was told to do. And when she tried to vote, the judge fined her and she said, I refuse to pay. And she didn't. The judge wouldn't put her in jail and she walked out. Well, you know, 1873 to the 19th Amendment in 1920, that's a long road. Women fought long and hard, getting chained to the White House fence, force-fed by the Woodrow Wilson administration after being imprisoned for demanding the right to vote. You know, just a real interesting long history there of a movement that simply could not be resisted. And eventually, the men in charge of government caved across the board and allowed women the right to vote. I think women got the right to vote more than they were allowed to, I suppose is one way to say that. So those are a couple of the more populist uprisings. There's lots of them. I mean, it's very difficult to look through any decent history of the United States and not just stumble across them. The union movement would be an example. That's just a group of people getting together and demanding their rights to be treated fairly in the workplace.
I bring this up in part because, Myron, and I think you're very aware of this, there is a mistaken view now that the way that change happens is you get a lot of people to just contact the legislature elect the people who will make the change, and that's the way it comes. I have a different view that really change comes from the bottom up, that mass movements happen, and eventually the legislators try and get out in front of the movement and say, see, this is the direction I'm leading you. Now, which way should I go? I think that's how it works. What's your impression about how change happens in this country?
Well, I think it's always been from bottom up. Leaders react, and there have been numerous cases of presidents making statements about, you know, the people need to force me to do something, and if you have the collective will to do that, you can get it done. I think the Bernie Sanders campaign is kind of a good example of what you're talking about, in that Sanders from the very beginning said, electing me president isn't going to change anything. Of course, he didn't succeed in getting the nomination, but he was very open and very clear about that, to say that this has got to be a movement of people that's got to be sustained long after he would have been elected president, if that would have occurred. So everything is bottom up, if it's worthwhile, and has to be sustained over time, because leaders do not come around quickly to any of these populist movements. As I mentioned with some of the dates, if you look at Stonewall in 1969 to a Supreme Court decision in 2015, every one of these movements has a long, long history. I used to remind my history students that in a history book, when you turn the page, sometimes you flip 50 to 100 years. And if you don't think about how much time is passing, you get the idea that these things are quick, and they're not.